Good morning. Welcome to the Sunday, August 24th, 2014 edition of Waking Up, Freeing Ourselves from Work. And in today's show, I'm hoping to encourage us to see that because we're facing a totalitarian reality, our unity, because we are a singular humanity, is being attacked on all fronts. And that we need the counter thoughts, a language of unity, to withstand the barrage of divisiveness and fight back. This is critical. Our global freedom will not simply happen magically. And we have a well-armed and determined opponent. And I mean well-armed in entrenched propagandistic conditioning. So we need the means to spread these opposite thoughts, this language of solidarity that works for us. But power is rushing, as we argued last week, to claim the language of solidarity, to name for us what it means, before we become firmly set through our discussions of it on claiming each other globally and the earth generally as allegiance the first. And the issue is challenging for us because betrayal is class society's underlying premise, both historically and in the life of each one of us. Anger unvented, we said last week, gets directed, Alice said, toward substitute objects. Now, there's a lot compressed and compounded in those words. How to begin? How can we, the global people, begin defining solidarity when power gives us our communal voice in controlling education and media? When mutual betrayal is structurally mandated by means of atomization and classification? When we haven't figured out practice the first for showing solidarity with our own children. When the mindset of class is all we have. When we're trained to think in artificial categories. And we can't grow up like that. And a couple of items that I read this week in the welcome freshman edition of the UC Berkeley student paper of August 21st serve to illustrate. One, which presents itself as all fluff and nonsense, i.e. tries to pretend the effect is not serious, inviting students to join in the good-humored fun and play the game of classification. It's called, quote, People You Will Meet at Berkeley, and then presents a dozen or so fun labels so that incoming students can immediately jump into the game of judging and ranking their brothers and sisters. Another, under the heading Research and Ideas, is titled Campus Study Profiles White Lower Middle Class Students. This one is particularly poisonous. It highlights the work, quote unquote, of a doctoral student who's come up with her own additional system of classifying. What does it say? Of classifying white lower middle class high school girls to enrich the standard, quote unquote, class rankings. So she comes up with lower middle class getting by girls and upper middle class overachievers and lower class nowhere kids. As we said last week, children waste not a minute trying to get ahead by ruthlessly stomping over their brothers and sisters. So we can't grow up thinking in these artificial categories they give us. But when we do begin to break through the categories, then power extends its hand and says, include us too, or you're being divisive. In other words, there's a few conversations that need to happen, and we need the language to have them in before we can even consider how to stand up to power's propaganda. We're going to have to do them all at the same time, both at the same time. So that when power extends its hand, as it does with Mr. Steele and Mr. Ignatia. We can reply, if you truly don't want us to be divided, if you truly stand against division, then you should support all people being self-sufficient, which requires reconnecting with the earth and making our own decisions and designing multiple communal living arrangements, experiments. And case in point, how we don't hear that offer made when there's this crocodile tears, phony reaction from the media or good-hearted liberalism about yet another homeless encampment being shut down. San Jose is doing this right now. I've become certain that standing with our brothers and sisters without homes is not just right, but strategically important. And when I say standing with, I mean making that issue the focus of one of our key strategies, which is land, reconnecting with the earth, creating enough goodwill wherever we are in the earth, from among the local populace, to demand land so that we can all work together. And that means, you know, free from building codes that don't apply, and this is discussed in Waking Up with the Earthship, so that we can all pull together. Let us try. If you're sincere, you know, you'll blow those millions and millions to perpetuate the issue, the problem, you know, funding, giving money to the organizations and the property owners and whatever. But when we present and come up with an actual alternative, land that is in communal possession in perpetuity, there's silence in response.